So how are you doing? Well, that did not sound good at all. Are you really doing good?
Yeah.
Yes, okay, good. Well, I invited you up here because I'm hoping you can help me out. You know, when we walk around on the streets in New York, things happen, and sometimes I get confused, and I'm not always sure what to do. So I'm going to tell you a couple things that happened to me, and maybe next time that happens, you can help me decide what to do. Can you help me with that?
Yeah.
All right, great. So I'm walking down the street one day, and as I'm walking, there's a man ahead of me, and he trips and falls. I mean, falls completely down on the ground. And I looked at him, and I wasn't sure what to do. Now, this is New York City, remember? So what do you do when that happens?
You help him up.
You help him up? That's great. Anything else?
If it's bleeding, you'll put a bandage.
Put a Band-Aid on it? That's a great idea.
Ask him if he's okay.
Ask him if he's okay? Excellent. She took your idea. Great. That's very helpful. Thank you. So another time, I'm walking down the street. This time it's winter. And you know how there's some holes in the street when you cross the street, those potholes, and then snow gets in them and it gets kind of hard to walk through? Well, there was this sweet little old lady pushing her grocery cart, and she was going, and it got stuck in the hole. And you know how it starts going? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then it went to the hand. And you know what the cars did? They started honking their horns for her to get out of the way. Now, I wasn't sure what to do. What should I do? We'll come back here, yes?
Maybe help her put the stuff back into her cart if help. It all fell out.
Great. And did you have an idea?
Stole my idea.
Oh, took your idea? That's great. That happens. It happens to me all the time. Yes?
Help her lift up her cart and get through the street.
Help her lift up the cart and get through the street. And yes? You said it all. Thank you. So I should help her. So I'm getting an idea here. Here's what you're telling me, I think. That if I see somebody that has a problem or a need, I should go do something about it, right? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah.
All right, then I'm a little confused then. Because you all did something not too long ago about helping some people, and I'm going to let Miss Jessica say a little bit about what you did and help me understand it.
You remember what we did. We had a bake sale, and we collected money for... For UNICEF, can we think of three things that money went for? Francesca?
Backpacks.
Let me see. Oh, Isabella.
Schools in a box.
Schools in a box.
Peanut paste.
Peanut paste, very nutritious for bodies.
Alba? Food and water.
Food and water, yup. Dinah?
Medicine,
yep, and Isabella, last one?
Toys.
So we sent money and all these things were bought for kids.
That sounds like craziness.
Listen.
You know why? Because didn't we just say that if you see somebody in need, then you help them, but you didn't see any of these people, did you?
No.
No, I don't get it. If you don't see them, why would you help?
Isabella?
They just need help, and people know about it. People have charities for it, and then they do something about it. But there are these charities that take money from people to help them, to help others. Like UNICEF is for kids.
And so, if you give to them, they help kids. How about others? Why did you do that? You never saw the people. So why would you help? Yes.
Because in some countries, they're like really poor, like in Harlem. Mm-hmm.
Yes. You know there's some upscale places in Harlem too, yeah. Yeah, you're right. So I think what you're telling me then is sometimes you don't have to see them, right? Like with your eyes, but you kind of see them with your heart. Yeah, you see them with your heart, and when you see with your heart, even though you've never met them, we still should help them, right? That's great. Thank you. That's very helpful to me. So let's remember that we can see people in need with our eyes or with our hearts. And when we do, what do? We help them. We show God's love. Now, would one of you be willing to pray before we go? And I'll even whisper in your ear if you're willing to pray and tell you what to say. Do I have any volunteers?
Yes.
You will do it? All right. Was that a yes or a no? I saw conflicting signs. No? You will do it? Okay. Or you would like to do it?
I don't know.
Would you? Okay. Why don't you stand up? You want me to whisper in your ear then? Just stand up here. Turn, and you'll talk on the mic, and then I'll tell you what to say, okay?
Dear God. Dear God.
Thank you for saving us.
Thank you for saving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
In Christ's name.
In Christ's name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Okay, you can go back to your seats.
A reading from the Psalms. Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Happy are those to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. While I kept silence, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Selah. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Don't we have the cutest, most special children in the world? Aren't they adorable? I'm thinking in the future we're just going to skip the regular sermon and just do children's sermons and everybody will be happier. Well, we're in the midst of the series, The Art of Living. And last week we kicked it off and we talked about embracing challenge. And what we learned was no challenge, no change in our lives. And today we're going to look at the courage to see. But before we delve into that topic, I just want to take a step back. Because this series comes in the midst of Lent that began with Ash Wednesday, that includes Maundy Thursday, that ends with Easter, all churchy words. So it can sound like the things we're talking about are churchy topics. But it's not churchy topics. It's not just Christian topics. It's not religious topics. These are people topics. And it's easy to forget that when the psalmist wrote these words, it was part of a larger conversation that was taking place at that time. Just as in when the New Testament was being revealed and written, there was a larger conversation taking place at that time. The questions that we're addressing are questions that have been asked again and again and again because they get at the heart of what it means to live, trying to live this life as fully as we can. What's interesting is about 55 AD, at the time that the writers were looking back on the life of Jesus and recording that and reflecting on its meaning, and at the time that Paul was writing the letters and other wrote letters, there was this fellow named Epictetus. And he was having a conversation with people about life. Like, what does it take to elevate your life, to live it fully? How do we take those yearnings, those places we want to be, those things we want to do, and align our actions with them so they're in harmony? How do we get to that place? And so the conversations that we find in our sacred scripture are conversations that were taking place all around them. It's just that sometimes the answers are different. And one of the big challenges in trying to figure out how we live life to the fullest is the courage to see. That is, to see ourselves for who we are and where we are. Because if we don't know that, if we don't have the courage to face that, then there's no way we can find our way to the place we want to be. So today we'll examine the courage to see. Now, in thinking about this, it reminded me of a game I used to play with my children when they were very little. It was a game of hide and seek. But it was hide and seek at that phase of their life, that stage of development. And here's how it would work. It was at the phase when the children believed that if they cover their eyes and they couldn't see you, you can't see them. Those were the good old days of hide and seek. No activity required. And so I would sit with my kids and they would put their hands over their eyes and I'd say, "Where's Alicia? Where's Austin?" I pretend I'm looking everywhere. "Where are they? Where are they?" And then they'd pop their hands off and say, "Here I am." And I'd be like, "Oh my gosh, I didn't even know you were there." Those were fun. It got harder when it was hide and seek and you had to go find them. You know, honestly, often I didn't try to find them. I just would say, "You want to play hide and seek?" I wanted the rest. Send them off. They come out, "Dad, you're not looking for us, are you?" "Nope." But here's the thing. As adults, we still play that game of hide and seek with our lives. Actually, it's hide and no seek. It's when we have issues in our lives, things that are challenging to face. And we believe that if we hide them, ignore them, pretend they're not there, then they're invisible. They don't need to be dealt with. But there's something in us that tells us that's really not working for us. There's something within us that tells us at some point we're going to have to develop the courage to see them, to face them. That's why this psalm and the psalmist is so important for us. I want you to think of this, even though it's just a few verses, as a mini story. It's almost a mini autobiography where the psalmist reveals something about his life. And notice what he reveals. He's saying, "Look, I tried to play hide-and-no-seek with issues in my life. I had those things within me, and I just tried to pretend they're not there. And if I pretend they're not there, then they're not there." But when he did that, he says, "I felt like I was wasting away. I felt this heaviness within me. As much as I tried to pretend that they weren't there, things were seeping out of me." And here's the line that grabs me, one way to phrase this verse. It said, "My words became like groans." It's not that the words changed, we say the same words, but they became like groans. When I heard this, when I thought about this, my mind went to Winnie the Pooh and Eeyore. Right? Eeyore could say words, but somehow what was within him just seeps out. Do you remember the part where Eeyore lost his tail? And it's all about finding Eeyore's tail. And at one point, Christopher puts this bright red balloon tacked to his tail end to be his tail. And what did Eeyore say? Such a cheerful color. Guess I'll have to get used to it. We do that, don't we? When we're trying to suppress, pretend, ignore the things that are within us, our words can come out like groans. If somebody says, how are you? You say, I'm okay. Rather than, I'm okay. Those groans have a way of coming out. It's like what we're trying to suppress is seeping out of us. And we need to pay attention to that because it's a sign there is no way just to ignore what's going on within us. And then we turn to the psalmist's story, this mini autobiography. And he gives us the moment that everything changed for him. And what was it? He says, when I let it all out, when I finally had the courage to see it and face it, and when I did that, I had the courage to be seen and let God in, actually to let myself in. When I had the courage to do that, to see and be seen, everything changed for me. I was free to start again. Something happens when we have the courage to see and then the courage to be seen. We were in California just a couple of days ago, five of our staff, and we're part of this growing young cohort, and we're part of an influencers cohort, which means we're about 16 very large churches in the country who are working together to find ways to better engage and work with and help younger generations. And it's pretty awesome. I mean, we're learning a ton. And it's also a sense of what we're learning, but a sense of responsibility that we're part of this influencer cohort. People look to us and say, if you can do something of significance, it has ripple effects in other places with other people. We should take that seriously, but that's another sermon. While we were there, one of the presenters made this statement, and it just really grabbed me. She said this. She said, being seen is almost the same as being loved. In fact, to the average person, they're the same. That's amazing. And maybe that's why we yearn to be seen. And it starts with being able to see ourselves. But I would add a caveat to that statement, a condition to that statement. I think it's true if we know how we're going to be seen. If we think that by being vulnerable and mustering up that courage to face the challenges within us and invite others into that, not to pretend anymore and just be us, who wants to be met with disapproval or worse yet, judgment? And we need to remember that because many of us have been here a long time, but people continue to come and visit us or worship with us online. And when they come, they're working on the courage to see and face what's going on within them. They're working on the courage to be vulnerable and allow others to really see them. I know since I've been here, I've met people who have come through that door who just within the last days are so depressed that they've wondered, maybe I should just end it all. I've talked to people who have come through as a couple who their relationship is just hanging by a thread, and they're wondering, if we come to this place, would we get the courage to see and face what's going on between us? I've talked to people who have come through that door who have been rejected by their families and rejected by their church. Why? Because they admitted they're gay or lesbian. They're part of the LGBT community. And when they come through that door, it is a huge risk. And they're yearning to find that courage to see. They're yearning like we are, to have that courage and vulnerability to be seen, but they do not want to be met with judgment or disapproval. And that is a tremendous responsibility for us as this community of faith, because everything we do gives a cue or a clue as to whether this is, in fact, a safe environment to come and see and be seen. Thinking back to church experiences I've had, there was someone who finally worked up the courage to attend a church, and it takes courage, and it's a risk. Their life was an utter mess, and they walked into the church and sat down with a hat on. And the first thing that this person was met with is somebody coming over to say, "Excuse me, it's inappropriate to wear a hat in this place. Will you please take it off?" Not a safe place. He did not come back. A couple came into a church and sat down. And they were struggling in their relationship, didn't agree on much, but the one thing they finally agreed on is maybe if we go to church, use my words, we'll find the courage to see. Maybe we can get help there. And as they're sitting there, somebody comes up and says, "Excuse me, we usually sit here. Could you slide down?" These are all cues and clues as to whether this is a safe place for people, and that's why I love this place. We work so hard to have this extravagant welcome to let people know this is a safe place for you. Come in and be you. This is the place where you find courage to see. This is the place where you can be seen. And you will not be met with judgment or disapproval. You will be met with love. How is it that we can finally get that courage then? We come to the place, we have this hope, we want it to be safe. There's something special that happens in a place like this. It's because when we have the courage to see ourselves, and we might even bring judgment on ourselves, we always do so in the light of who God is. And that changes everything. In Psalm 86, it talks about who God is, and it says, "You, O Lord, are a God abounding in steadfast love." Abounding in steadfast love. And that shapes how God sees us. That shapes how we see one another. And I think C.S. Lewis said it best. He said this: Christians don't think that God loves them because they're good, but that God will make them good because God loves them. In other words, when this love comes our way, when we have the courage to see ourselves and open ourselves to be seen by God and all of God's people, it's a love that radiates toward us. And it's a light, not a light that focuses on us to highlight our weaknesses and our sins and our mistakes. It's a light that not only shines on us, but shines the way forward of who we can be. It makes us realize that we can be embraced and loved right here for who we are, and there's like a love and light that's guiding us to where we yearn to be. Our purpose in being here is to be a safe place so people can have the courage to see. Our purpose in being here is to be a safe place so people can have the courage to be vulnerable and be seen. No more pretending. And when we look at one another through the eyes of God, through that love, we find a love that meets us where we are and shows us the way to where we yearn to be. And it all begins when we have the courage to see. May God make it so for all of us. Amen.